Yes, yes, yes. We could not get Carmichael Dave out of the studio. So, you know, we're rocking and rolling now. Styles and Watkins. He's a talker. That's what he does. That's why we love him. Styles and Watkins, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. We got you every single day. And it is quite the day.
It's a good day.
To be listening to Sactown Sports. It is the day that we've all been waiting for. Warriors Kings Part 3, in-season tournament birth to the knockout round on the line. Woo. Chris Watkins, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm recovering first and foremost for all those who watched Monday Night Football last night. Just condolences, please. Send just hearts, purple hearts in the chat, please.
Yeah,
because I need it. Because the Vikings. I'm fighting. I'm a soldier right now, fighting.
Watch out, Duck.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Josh Dobbs, just do another pick.
It was really bad yesterday. Just a lot of, I've never seen, the Niners this offseason. We're talking about how they, Fred Warner and I think Dre Greenlaw as well, were practicing, juggling to practice, catching tipped balls and things like that and just getting better hand-eye coordination. And I think the Chicago Bears definitely, they must be running a circus over there because it was tip ball galore and it was a rough game to watch. But like I said, I'm recovering. I'm getting on the other side of it. And tonight's game is definitely going to be a great way of getting over it because, dare I say, this is – I think I can say it. This is the biggest NBA in-season tournament basketball game in NBA history.
That's true.
In NBA history tonight. This is the biggest game.
And I don't even know what the other setups are, but nothing is going to top this. Because – if you look at the different rivalries and within each division, the Pacific, whatever it is, there is nothing in any other group that is going to match up to this, right? So I feel confident saying that even though we're not done with the other games yet, this is going to be the biggest one.
It's the biggest one.
This is, again,
NBA history will be made tonight.
Adam Silver is I'm not saying he is the puppet master for all this.
No.
It's a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
But
he's not David Stern now.
Well, he's not.
David Stern's the ultimate puppet master.
Yes, well, he's playing chess, not checkers, and he is, I guess, enjoying the fruits of his labor. And when you have somebody like a Draymond, was there any thought, and not that he thought about maybe the in-season tournament, but Adam Silver, I'm Adam Silver, all right? It gets dropped on my desk. Hey, you saw what Draymond did. He's got this guy in a chokehold. What's the situation, right? Adam Silver's looking, how should I approach this? And he looks at the schedule. Once he saw the schedule, was there any thought for 2 seconds to make that suspension 4 games or 6 games? It was automatically going to be fine as soon as he saw the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to put on the tinfoil hat, sure. I don't personally believe that. I think 5 games was just in general the right number for that suspension.
Bye, Dave. Dave is back in here. Dave will not get out of here.
Loser.
He forgot his phone.
All right, have a good show. Oh, thank you. See ya.
At least once a week. I mean, I'm not going to say there's anything nefarious, but of course, you're a little bit new here, but I think you fully understand everything that goes into, or not everything, but you're quickly picking up a lot of things that go into Kings basketball. And this is just one of those things that for whatever reason always happens to the Kings. People will come back from injury, and of course the first game back is against the Kings. Suspensions, first game back is against the Kings. So I don't know why, but it was almost expected. So I don't think that, I'm not going to give Adam Silver the credit that I don't feel like he deserves by trying to manipulate this into being set up this way. But, man, I'm not upset about it, that's for sure. It definitely adds to the intrigue.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And this is what it was all about when the in-season tournament was created. We are also going to talk about the Clippers and Russell Westbrook complaining again about fans. Where do we land on that? Lakers get absolutely demolished by the 76ers. So, of course, time for a third star. Like I said, we're talking Kings and Warriors all day long. Chris Biederman joins us at 11 from the Candlestick Chronicles to talk Kings and Niners as well. And John Dickinson joins us at 1 p.m. But let me ask you this. And, of course, your calls, your YouTube chat, your text, 916-339-1140. Let me ask you this. Got Simone behind the glass, so she's going to be rocking and rolling all day. Let me ask you this. Is it better that Draymond is coming back today? If you're a Kings fan, would you rather Draymond come back today than maybe he came? Obviously, if he missed the game,
yeah.
The Warriors are better with Draymond, regardless of what anybody says. Mm-hmm. But would you rather Draymond come back today and have all these feelings? Maybe you get a tech. Maybe the team is out of sorts. We'll get to the Klay Thompson sound. They're already a bit broken and fragmented. Would you rather him come back tonight, or would you rather he have come back last game against the Spurs, kind of get lathered a bit, feel back in the rhythm, and now he's ready to take on the Kings? He would still be fired up, but not like this. I'd make the argument I'd rather Draymond come back tonight and knowing who Draymond is, have maybe his emotions be running wild versus, okay, we played Wembanyama, I got chilled out, and now he's even more focused. I think he's going to be all over the place tonight.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a great question. I agree with you.
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this earlier today because I honestly do think I'd rather have him come back the game before, because I think there's a lot of, I mean, Draymond, secret, I don't know if I'm revealing, Draymond's an emotional guy, mm-hmm. and like he tends to run on emotion, and I think there's going to be tons of emotion coming back from his suspension, and there's going to be a ton of eyes on him, and he's going to be on his best behavior tonight, 1,000%, and he's also going to be trying to prove a point. Like, he's going to say, you know, y'all took me away from my team, and here's an ESPN nationally televised game that has some importance, and what do the Warriors love more than anything but showing their pedigree and how they're built like this and how, you know, they haven't given up the reins just quite yet. It's just a lot of emotion for Draymond to carry into this game that he's been thinking about for now, 2 weeks or whatever it's been. I would have rather had him get all those emotions out in a San Antonio environment and, you know, maybe sure he can still rile up some emotion from this game, mm-hmm. but I don't think it would be nearly as much as what it's going to be centrally focused on tonight. And so, you know, there is a possibility that, you know, you haven't played for a while, you're going to be rusty, but it also is, it's one of those things that it's all going to depend on.
Well, he ain't a shooter,
is going to determine what we're going to say. Of course, like, it's, if he plays well, we're going to say he was so emotionally driven and he took that energy and he put it into his play and that's why he scored 14 points and whatever, had all these steals. But if he plays poorly, then we're going to say, you know, maybe he was too riled up, or, you know, clearly he was rusty. It's, you know, if I had to guess, he would probably lean more towards being an emotional leader who's really controlled because he's trying so hard to not be that guy that got him suspended in the first place.
You make a great point from what happened with Jordan Poole last season. Draymond told us over and over again, even though nobody asked, he just kept telling us that he couldn't be himself because of what happened.
Right.
So the only thing, I guess the opposite of what I initially said in terms of Draymond being too wild, to counter what you're saying as far as being chill, if he's too he has to walk that line. So if he's not even getting close to the line because all the eyes are on him, that could also benefit the Kings, and that would be that would be a different way of me saying I would rather him play tonight, because I guess the chances of Draymond being, you're saying there's a good chance he could be that perfect middle ground, and I'm saying I'd like to think that he's either going to be on, he's going to be trying to whoop that trick and fire up the crowd, or he's going to be a Boy Scout. Sure. And when he's a Boy Scout, he doesn't help anybody, right? But I will say this, Lord help us all if Draymond makes a three. If Draymond makes, he will not shut up.
He might run up the stands
if he makes a three.
There's no way. Yeah, he's going to go crazy. Don't let him hit two either.
Oh, no, no,
don't let him hit two.
No, if he hits two, he might do a backflip.
Because he's hit
two
on the Kings before, and he gets hyped. You can tell he starts feeling himself, and that's when he can't help himself but to keep yapping. And, you know, that's where, like you're saying, that's where he can maybe get to that, forget 10, I'm on 15.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's where he gets himself into trouble a lot, is when he, you know, he fluctuates over 10 and he just sees red. So, you know, I could see that, but, you know, if I just had to guess from, and I'm more so thinking of, you know, the Kings history with guys like DeMarcus Cousins, where when you know that you have all the eyes on you and you, it's almost like the pettiness drives you in the same way that the anger and the fire used to, where it's like, I'm going to be so petty by, I'm going to slap, you know, whatever, slap somebody's wrist. You're going to blow the whistle. And instead of complaining, I'm just going to, you know, focus straight down the court, head down, put my head down and not say anything. Like that pettiness almost is the same fire that they use for, you know, instead of being vocal.
Yes. Yes. And our dog segment comes back at 1:30. So get your dogs in. First dog since the being back from break, since after vacation. So get your dogs in because you're going to need them. Keegan Murray, doubtful, right? He could, as you were telling me in the pre-show, he could get upgraded again. It's a long season. And I feel like the same way you treated – here's a good question with the in-season tournament. We're also going to be breaking down the in-season tournament at 11:30 for any questions that you may have and just kind of giving you that information. The question is, Chris, as much as the in-season tournament matters a bit more – than I think we all initially thought. I think we're all kind of jumping on the bandwagon a bit. Is it to the point where, hey, let's bring Keegan back. Let's bring X player back so that we can clinch for something for in season. It ain't the playoffs.
Right.
Where is that line? I don't think any of us know yet.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of a team-by-team decision right now where it's like how much importance does your specific organization put towards this tournament?
Right.
I mean, and if I had to guess, the Kings probably, this is probably that line, like you're saying.
Yes.
Like, this is probably the line where it's like, you know, like, I don't think it's worth, especially with a lower back injury. Like, you never want to.
Don't mess with knees or backs.
No, just stay away. And if Keegan's feeling any sort of discomfort, any sort of, you know, landing and it tweaks, just sit him out.
Yeah.
I mean,
John Taffer shut it down.
It's not a really big, in terms of regular season, relatively, it's a big game, but it's not a playoff game. It's not something that you really do need to go all out for. It'd be a fun thing to try and achieve, but at the end of the day, you know, it's not worth risking an entire season.
Yeah. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're talking Russell Westbrook. We have that sound. Is it him? Or are the fans out of pocket? Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. 11 o'clock, Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. We will talk to him. 1 o'clock, we will have John Dickinson, who's been covering the Warriors for years. So we will have John as well. And the dog segment at 1:30. So many different angles, so many different dimensions to get to with this Kings and Warriors. But I do want to take a trip around the NBA. Because honestly, this connects back to the Kings with Draymond returning. And you, Chris, have even said that good on the Kings fans. Because there's never been anything. We even saw something with the Philly fans and Bills players, and now it's turning out that maybe the Bills players lied about things. It's getting real spicy out here with fans and players, right? Going back and forth. So last night, Russell Westbrook, who has had multiple issues, and I believe the game was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
The game was in L.A., so, you know, Russell has famously said he's not what's going on in Utah. Utah's not a great place to play. Russell Westbrook is a guy who makes this thing very difficult because we know that fans are, they're drinking, they're having a good time, and they feel like they can say whatever. But when it seems to only be happening to you, I start to struggle because you're not the only NBA player that somebody is talking trash to, right?
No,
so it's a 3-minute clip. We're not going to play the whole thing, but we have a little snip of what Russell Westbrook said. I was talking to Dave before he left, and apparently later in the clip, he does get into the whole namesake thing and don't respect my name. So we think it was a Westbrook situation, but this is before he said the namesake stuff. This is Russell Westbrook on what happened during the game.
Just unfortunate for fans think they can get away with saying anything, and I won't allow it. I've took a lot of, you know, people saying anything and, you know, getting away with it, but I won't stand for it.
So, like I said, he talked for a long time about it, and to me, Chris, what I start to struggle with is y'all lost to the Nuggets without Jokic and without Jamal Murray. So I'm not saying that he is deflecting. But we're talking about this instead of the fact that y'all lost to Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson gave y'all 35 and 13.
And DeAndre Jordan, I think, had a double-double, like, in and out.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? So, I don't know, man.
Especially if it's about, if it's just a, like, if, of course, if this is like a deeper, like, if this is like hate speech or whatever, that's a different conversation.
We don't know.
But if this is really, again, about the West Brick nickname, like, again, yeah, like, it does feel like this is deflecting. Like, it is, I understand that, you know, maybe not everyone takes criticism the same way, and, you know, no one will truly understand what it's like to be a player in that kind of situation.
I also but I don't know what it's like to have $100 million either.
That's a great point. And you, as you also pointed out, I don't think this is a specific Russell Westbrook thing.
No.
Like, it's LeBron James, I'm sure he gets it. Anthony Davis, I'm sure, you know, everybody across the league, for the most part, gets it. I'm sure Steph Curry and Draymond get it pretty bad as well. I'm not saying that justifies people yelling at everyone, but I don't know. I feel like it is interesting that it's always Russell Westbrook who's bringing this up, and it does feel like it is always to deflect from what is going on with this team.
I'm trying to figure out where the line is, though, right? Because
that's heckling. If you call him Westbrick, that's not
even cursing
him.
Yeah. That's not even cursing.
No. That's fine. That's like, that's you know, of course, like, no, I think that's fine if you're a fan and you heckle, and it's safe among safe parameters. I think Westbrick is a totally fine, safe, above board thing to yell from the crowd.
So
now if it's, you know, of course, you know, you can add on to Westbrick, but, for the, you know, if that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
If that's where his offense is, if it's not, if he's actually like, I'm fine with people saying F you and you're this and
but
can't do
don't
this
talk,
and X, but don't call me Westbrook.
And number one, if you don't want people, when he said this, this was like 2-3 years ago,
it was a while
the Lakers.
Ago. Yeah, it was a while
If you tell fans what not to call you, what do you think people will do?
Yeah, they'll make shirts.
They'll
make posters. They'll make merchandise.
And you know, again, not that it's not KD's namesake, but you're calling somebody out your name. I didn't hear Westbrook speaking up when they were calling Kevin Durant a cupcake.
Right.
I didn't hear him say, "Hey, God." He didn't Popovich. He didn't grab the mic and say, "Hey, we're better than this. Don't call him a cupcake." Right. I mean, my last name. You know how many times my last name is Styles.
Yeah.
Right. You know how many times people have been, too bad you don't have any. No Styles, right? So if people walk out, hey,
Alan,
what's up,
no
Alan,
Styles.
No Styles. And I say, hey, sick. You disrespect my daughter. You disrespect my family.
My mother. His father.
His father's father. By you disrespecting my name. What are we doing, man?
I'm a Rickford. I could be a Brickford just like
Russell. Brickford.
Brickford.
You disrespect Simone's family.
Brickford's
when you
crazy.
Call her Brickford. Simone, did you ever hoop? Did someone call you that back in the day?
No, I never hooped. Look at me, all five.
I really
you
can run point.
It's really bad.
For Powderpuff, they did make me a linebacker, and I'll never forgive them for it.
That's crazy.
A
so
linebacker.
Do you have bricks for hands? Is that,
yeah.
I'm just why?
I do really want to call you Brickford from now on, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
now
sorry.
We
got a hoop.
You
allow
put
it.
That on yourself.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight. I like it.
So I don't know what to do with this, man. I'm pretty sure when LeBron, the famous meme when LeBron's pointing and saying, get them out of here, didn't it come out what was actually said? Like, they said some, I don't think LeBron actually said it, but it came out. They said some messed up stuff about LeBron's family, or LeBron might have said it. But Westbrook, if you're going to continue to be broad like this, people are going to start going Kobe on you and saying you're Charmin.
Well, and also, like, Charmin soft. Exactly. Like, my problem is also, Russell Westbrook is one of the biggest proponents of talking mess during a game. Like,
that's
he literally does the rockabye baby. Mm-hmm. He was one
too
of the
small.
First people to do the two smalls. He's always yapping
at
players.
But Chris, we on the court.
And that's what he would say. And, like, you know, I think that when you walk into an opposing environment, like, you're going to get people who feel like they're on the team, and they're gonna throw it back. They're gonna say, "I'm playing too. I'm here just the same way you are as well. I'm gonna try and be a part of this game for better or worse."
The problem is, that's like, remember with DeRozan? That's like What is the difference between that? What is the line? Because what about DeRozan when his daughter, I think they had to win two playing games, and his daughter was
just
going
screaming
crazy.
Yeah, incredible.
And it worked.
Incredible
what
stuff.
If they had said, hey, you can't do that anymore? Like, I just don't know what the line is, right? Because are you allowed to distract someone? The cussing thing is tough for me because a lot of people will take their kids. And
Absolutely.
And I do think there's a level of if you are going to take your kids, don't. It's not about not caring about the curse words, but you can't take your kids and expect everybody around you. If there's a group
of
21-year-olds around you and they're having a good time, they're up from Sac State enjoying themselves, and they're talking how they want to talk.
Ain't nothing you can do.
You chose to take your kid to a game. That's just, it's not okay, but it's just part of it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's, I think we all know that, like, when it becomes, you know, verbally abusive, I think is when it's clearly the line. But it does, I mean, I personally believe, as someone who loves sports and watches tons of sports and goes to sporting events, like, I'm not personally somebody who heckles, but I understand that it is just part of the game. Like, it is something that you have to deal with, and of course, there's varying levels. I just don't think it's ever something that you can police. Like, I mean, and this isn't just a basketball issue either. You know, though Russ has had issues in Utah, like you said, and now here, you know, there's tons of issues all the time with baseball players in Boston standing in the outfield and getting heckled out there, or just in general, guys in the outfield getting heckled. I remember I went to a Dodgers Nationals game years ago, and Bryce Harper was in right field getting just abused the entire time. It's just kind of part of it, and is it fair? No, but to your point, these guys are 100 millionaires, some of them, and like, that is kind of what is baked into the salary.
Exactly. It, to me, it's
a
almost
tough
like
job.
Media
like,
availability.
It's a really tough job.
It comes to a certain point. My two last points. Number one, I think the issue is because it's always Westbrook. To me, there's no way you are getting different treatment than any other player, to your point, right? It's hard for me to believe.
Like, there's levels to it, I'm sure, and I'm sure he's near
because
the
top level.
Because
he spoke out about it.
Because he's spoken out about it, and he is one of the most disliked. Like, my girlfriend cannot stand Russell Westbrook.
Right.
Like, she loves basketball and, like, watches it a lot, but she's not a, you know, she's not tuning in every, she hates Russell Westbrook. And I think that there's a lot of people who are not even casuals, but just, you know, don't watch more than one or two teams, and that whenever Russell Westbrook comes into town, because he's a guy who's always talking mess, who's always, you know, getting in the face of your favorite player, I think a lot of people don't like him.
You know, I saw something about, this was a couple years ago, and I saw something about Chris Brown. Now, Chris Brown obviously has a rough past with Rihanna and everything there, and Chris Brown has gotten into some trouble after the fact. What I read was that random people trying to get a bag would go to these situations, or if they saw Chris Brown, they would try to get under his skin and and make him rile up his temper to catch a case, because it's known that he reacts to that. And I feel like once it's a known thing, it's going to get worse. And I feel like that's what Westbrook is dealing with. We know you don't like it,
right?
So it's going to get worse. Look at the most famous guy in the NBA right now, LeBron. How many different versions of La something have we seen? La choke, La flop, La brick, all of that. And LeBron has never said anything.
Nope.
All that, I really threw you to the ground like that, JJ.
La flop, okay? La 5-6, what are they called? La 5-6 or whatever he is now. And LeBron has never said anything.
No.
So, Westbrook, if he can deal with that as the face of the NBA, you can deal with hecklers in your own building. You can go home, cry amongst $1 million, right? And you're at home, and you're from SoCal. What are you complaining about, brother? Unless you're going to come and tell me they called you a slur. They called you a slur or something. But that Westbrook stuff, I'm sorry, dude. Hit the gym and start making your shots, and they'll start calling you.
And that's
you know what? Here's the crazy thing. He's shooting, I saw yesterday he's shooting 66% from free throw.
Yeah.
That's a brick.
That's a brick.
You're a point guard. It's not even like they're lying on you.
No.
They're not even lying on you, brother.
No, no, it's all facts. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what this is going to, Yeah, I don't know where this is going to lead to, but if this also, I don't understand why he won't say what people
just say it.
Like, why are you protecting these people that are apparently throwing all of these, you know, whatever. I don't want to put that negative energy out there, yeah. Whatever you want to say, but it helps add to the conversation. And maybe, just maybe, people will sympathize right. with you if we actually know what they're saying. But if we are only to assume, like what you say, all you gave us is that allegedly this is about the Westbrook thing. If it's just going to be about that, no one's going to feel bad for
you. And that's why he's not saying anything.
Because that's what it's about. Crazy, he knows that he's too sensitive.
Exactly. That's what it's
about. Probably because people have told him, Russ, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. You're just being too sensitive.
You are. All right. Got to get to a break. And there was a whole Popovich thing which happened while we were on a break as well. And that got a little wonky because first it was Popovich complaining about the booing. And then I guess a lot of people talked about it. It was really about booing Kawhi. And Popovich didn't specifically say that. And right. It kind of came out later that it was about Kawhi.
Oh, yeah, for
not
sure.
Just booing. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, L.A. is just having a rough go. Before we come back to Sacramento, we're just going to keep ripping the L.A. because the Lakers got absolutely destroyed last night. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
8 seconds to go. The Lakers will dribble it across. And the 76ers are going to win this game by 46 points. Wow. Whoa, man. 138-94. A rout. An amazing win for the Sixers.
That is what happened last night to the Lakers out in Philadelphia.
Styles
and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Chris Biederman at 11, who sat down with Malik Monk, the Monk Yard Dog. So we will have questions based on the piece that Chris just put out. Some good stuff. So get your questions in about Malik, if you have those as well, 916-339-1140. And yeah, we're just roasting on LA as much as we can.
Love it.
And the last thing I'll say about the Clippers before we talk Lakers is I'm mad at the Clippers because if you're a Kings fan, you needed the Nuggets to take an L there.
Yeah.
You had one job. You had one job. Yep. They're saying here, take it. We don't have Jokic. We don't have Jamal Murray. And you're fully loaded. We did the math yesterday. We did the percentages for future Hall of Famers.
Yep.
That is a mess. Just bring Paul George to Sacramento because it's just a mess out there.
Just call it.
It's just a mess out there. Or Kawhi. Whoever. You need a fresh start. Kawhi would love Sacramento.
He would love
I can see Kawhi on J Street, on K Street.
Oh, absolutely. He's a fun guy. From what I hear, yeah. Him and Keegan, oh my goodness. Those two would be a riot.
Dude.
My goodness.
Karaoke night with those two?
The boys?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, it just happen. It's over. Because it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. And they're making that new in Inglewood. They just stop the production.
No.
Just don't even do it.
No. No.
You're wasting your time.
Just keep being tenants.
Yeah.
Just stay at the crypto.com or whatever they're gonna call it in 3 years. And
unreal.
You know, they're wasting their money over there.
Unreal. So
we'll see them on Wednesday though.
We'll see them on Wednesday. And this is what's gonna happen, right? They're going to have a team meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're going to be invigorated. It's going to be Pelicans part two.
Yep.
And they're going to be, hey, we met. We're feeling good about things. Yeah. But to be honest.
Guys, look around.
Right.
Look at the talent in this room. We can accomplish anything.
But what's crazy is that I can't even see the Clippers having a team meeting. There's no way they would be able to get everyone together.
You got
Kawhi in the corner, not paying attention. You got Paul George who's doing a podcast. You got James Harden
making
eating
a Supreme Dreams video
right now. Right. And who's Russ complaining?
No, Russ would be the one trying to get everyone together. You remember that clip of him in the Lakers locker room where LeBron's like, "Hey, we need everyone to be focused. Come on, y'all, pay attention to what you're doing." Russ is like, "Hey, man, Let's just go out there and have fun. Everybody just have fun." And that's what he's going to do in that clip. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what the biggest problem is? I don't see smiles.
No.
I don't see smiles around this locker room right now.
No.
We see a smile a little bit more
after lose to the JV Nuggets. I don't understand it. Do you talk about, we're doing our dog segment at 1:30, so get your dogs in. There are no dogs on the Clippers.
No.
Not a one.
No.
Kawhi, Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I don't see no dogs, though.
I like Terrence Mann, but that's
well, maybe the role players, yeah. But those four are, yeah. Have no dog in them.
None of them. I mean, you know, Kawhi does a little bit, but that dog needs
to go to the vet.
Yeah, that dog's
every other week.
That's you know how like pugs or whatever have like the right. Nose issues, yeah. And they only live for like 6 years.
Shout out to pugs, that's
Kawhi, unfortunately. Yeah. That's the kind of you know, he's got a lot of dog, but it's just
right.
That dog, you know,
you've been a good dog.
It don't last very long.
Been a good time.
It's not like, you know, those shelter dogs you get, those things are 14-15 years easy, but you get one of those pugs, that's like 5-6 years max.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out pugs.
It's a good dog though.
All right, so the Lakers got smacked
by... Talk about getting dogged.
Right, There you go. Bingo bongo.
Come on.
The Lakers get dogged.
Absolutely.
By the 76ers. Love and LeBron it. Had some things to say after the game. Somebody said, hey, the team and, you know, you guys believe or, you know, kind of just... Where do you go from here? And he said something like the team, or just a classic.
He said, what team?
Right. He looked like remember the Titans, yeah. Right? Where's Bertier, right? And now it's a cycle with the Lakers to where it's, you know, those meme cycles. So if you're driving, obviously don't close your eyes if you're driving. Just imagine, right? If you're on YouTube, maybe if you're stationary, right? So you close your eyes and it's the we are here.
Yeah.
So
where are we?
So it's this is gonna be our year. And that was in the summer when they made all these moves.
Yep.
Then it was LeBron's playing with bums, right? They need to step up, okay? Then it was LeBron is doing everything himself. He needs help. We are there in the cycle.
Okay,
and then it comes back around because they'll get somebody.
That's the key is they have to get people.
They'll get LaVine.
Yeah, they switch it up. They always switch up the deck a little bit. And then everything's better after that.
Now, according to Shams,
and then it goes back.
The Bulls would want Austin Reeves in that deal, which is obvious to me, right? So let's say they move off of Vanderbilt, who is still not playing.
Yeah, he still hasn't played.
Is still not playing.
Still isn't playing.
Austin Reeves, right? All these guys. Yeah.
Hachimura,
who's been
probably
out
D-Lo
as well.
In there as well.
So now you get LaVine. Would you be worried as a Kings fan that you have a new quote-unquote big three with the Lake with LeBron, AD, and LaVine? You did not want Zach LaVine.
No, he makes a lot more sense for the Lakers, though, because they do need like that third. They need some scoring pop. Like, that's what Austin Reeves is there to do. Mm-hmm. He's kind of there to be that third scorer. And when LeBron and AD, especially when LeBron's tired in the fourth quarter, like, that's supposed to be Austin Reeves' ISO get to the free throw line time. And if you're replacing Austin Reeves with Zach LaVine in those moments, I mean, I obviously think that's a big upgrade. Mm-hmm. So I actually think that's a really good move for the Lakers. I don't think the Lakers were ever going to be a team that was built on depth. And I think this was always, or something like this was always going to be the move. I think the reason they signed D'Angelo Russell to $17 million per year isn't because he's a $17 million a year guy. It's because you can package that $17 million contract with something else, and that equals $30
million. It's the Harrison Barnes situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really good move for the Lakers. I really hate to say it.
So you think it would be any picks or just D'Lo?
I don't know
and
if
Austin
they have
Reeves.
Any picks.
Yeah.
I really don't.
D'Lo, Austin Reeves for Zach
yeah,
LaVine.
Probably D'Lo, Austin Reeves,
here, take
maybe
Rui Hachimura.
And then at that point, I mean, I actually, the Lakers could put out a starting five of Gabe Vincent, Zach LaVine, LeBron, Vanderbilt, and AD. Like, that's a pretty scary five to go against.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't hate that for the Lakers at all. And I think LaVine would be happy there. I think he would be free to score however he pleases. And if they could somehow channel, I mean, the Lakers are a really good defensive team. If they could channel LaVine's athleticism into some form of perimeter defense, I don't know. Yeah, like I'm already getting ahead of myself in this Laker cycle, but it kind of feels like they're back and they could be much like last year. That could kind of turn their fortune and turn them into Western Conference title contenders.
Right. And I think you do make a good point with fit, because if that does happen and it does turn the Lakers around, which I thought the Lakers had turned around last season.
Yeah.
The first time they made these trades. But here we are again. This is where we are in the cycle. Zach LaVine, born in Washington, but he did go to UCLA. So there is a form of,
for sure,
I'm coming home,
connective tissue,
right? So I could see it happening. He's got the star power. Yep. Hey, he might be thinking Zach LaVine's one of those guys where, okay, he came out, he kind of plateaued a bit.
Yes.
He came out hot, slam dunk competition, slam dunk contest, then kind of just plateaued, and this could be a situation. If I'm his agent, I'm saying, we got to get you to L.A. It'd be good for your brand,
yes,
get back
would.
In the limelight. You kind of, even though he hasn't, we was with Minnesota and he was Chicago. That's the question we had about the markets, right?
Yep.
When Lou Williams had something to say about Sacramento, Chicago, you got stars in Chicago and nobody cares. I don't know what you do with that whole market conversation, but got to get to a break. We'll see what happens with the Lakers, but we don't care. We don't care today because it's about Kings, Warriors, and when we get back, we drink Klay Thompson's tears respectfully.
It.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We will be joined by Chris Biederman, the Candlestick Chronicles, also covering the Sacramento Kings at 11 o'clock. We have a lot to get to with the Warriors and the Kings. But first, the most important thing. From the text line, the 916-916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation. Styles, who are the other Pokemon besides Pikachu on your shirt? It's all Pikachu. It's just different pictures of Pikachu doing different Pikachu-type things.
Yep.
Raichu did go crazy, though. I wish there was a picture of Raichu.
Oof.
Right? You know,
Raichu was scary.
When I was prepared, you know, my mom, hey, you got to come get your stuff. So I went through a phase where I said, you know what, let me go through the Pokemon and just see if I had anything of worth.
The cards?
Right? The cards. I had my cards. I still had the binder from fourth, fifth grade. I went through. I had my Articuno. I had my Articuno. I had my Blastoise. I think the best one I saw was worth about $8. I don't think they were handing them out. You know what I mean? In the normal packets.
Yeah.
Okay? The stuff I saw was, you know, whether it was American or in the different language, I had both. I'm thinking I should have something. Give me $100 little thing. $8, that was it.
You know, Simone has a really terrible story about Pokemon cards.
Simone?
I was just saying back here, I have a tear in my eye. I'm not bringing up the Charizard story. I have a terribly traumatic Pokemon card story.
Okay.
That I will share right now, I guess.
That's
all. Basically,
Chris.
I did get a holographic Charizard when I was a child, and my brother did take it from me and went and bartered it for 8 or 9 mid Pokemon, and it was gone.
Other holographics?
Maybe one.
Wow. No, that, come on.
It was terrible. So
why would he do that?
It was really bad, dude. He thought it was a good deal.
Charizard was the one.
Yeah.
It's the only one.
That was the one.
Literally the only one.
I mean, yeah, we
that
just
is the white
discussed
whale.
This for Thanksgiving. It's a deep, traumatic thing I have going on. So thank you for bringing that up.
He
Hawkins.
Owes you
That's
big
nuts.
Time. He owes you big time.
Wow.
Like forever.
Shout out Brickford. That's a Brickford,
Brickford
right there.
Yeah, that's a Brickford.
That's a Brickford right there.
Brickford energy right
that
there.
That is a Brickford for sure.
Crazy.
Wow. Well, you know who else has been in the Brick life? That's been Klay Thompson.
Yeah, oh boy.
And he's really, you know, you have Chris Paul
Brick
and
squad.
Cliff Paul on that team.
Yeah.
You also have Klay Thompson and Clank Thompson on that
mm.
team. If they both show up at the same time, hopefully they do tonight.
The Clash Brothers.
The Clash Brothers and just Steph just needing more and more Advil and Aleve to carry them. And you
got
to carry Draymond with Draymond's backpack.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. Steph is looking like Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
And hopefully that's the case tonight. You can limit Steph Curry. You'll be okay. And we'll talk about the keys to the game later. So here is Klay Thompson. He gets into it with Tim Kawakami, who's been around forever covering the Warriors and just Bay Area teams. And it got today is not a spicy Wednesday, a wasabi Wednesday, but it got a little spicy between Klay.
Tuesday?
A little testy Tuesday.
Tapatio Tuesday is what
Thank
it
you.
Is. There it is. And here is Klay Thompson going back and forth with Tim Kawakami.
Kirk talks a lot about believing in his guys, especially the starting lineup. Won championship not too long ago. Having patience, letting guys kind of, you know, find their game. How aware are you of that kind of patience, and how much do you value it?
What do you want me to bench me?
I don't know. It's like that's
you want bench some... wigs.
I said that.
Okay. I mean, you can suggest it. It's fine. But I mean, thanks, Steve. I guess. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you earn these things, like patience and time to find yourself. And I think history is on our side when it comes to that stuff.
say that. Do you, have you heard people say that? Or is,
no, I don't care what people say. Like, they don't do what we do. They can't do what they do. That's why they talk. Why would I? Like, come on. I don't care what people say. This point in my life. Next question.
What a guy.
Next question.
I don't care what people say, but he really does care what people say.
It's always
that goes back from last season with Charles Barkley. And I'm be honest, I was out there. I was covering the Warriors out there, and I got killed because I said, I don't really think Charles Barkley said anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Clay just was in his feelings a little bit, which, look, my Achilles is I am not a millionaire, future Hall of Famer. We looked at the percentage. Clay will get into. I am not a Hall of Fame, multi-time champion NBA player, right? And it really sucked when I tore my Achilles. So I can only imagine Clay coming off of two injuries. It's been a long road. And Clay is going through this battle internally where sometimes he understands people, sometimes he gets chippy, right? Because he did the four and he got memed out of this world, right? And then he goes on Podcast P, right? Of Paul George, right? In the booth, not in the court, right? And he's saying he feels bad about it and how he feels bad about it. He's trying to turn over a new leaf. And Clay starts bricking again. Clank Thompson shows up, and all of a sudden, it's a problem when he gets asked. Now, you said when we were talking, it was a pointed question a little bit.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
But Clay, look at the percentages. You can't do what we do. I see some of your shots.
Kevin Herter be doing what you do.
I could do that. Okay. I could definitely do that, Clay. I don't know what to make of this, man.
I mean, it's unfair because Clay clearly was just in a mood,
very not feeling it.
That's a fine question. Like, was it the most perfectly worded question? No. Is Tim Kawakami kind of pointing at the fact that y'all are lucky that y'all have the pedigree you do, or else
because you've been trash,
you'd be riding the pine if not? Sure, like he kind of did tell Clay Thompson that to his face, but also Clay, you can very much just say, you know, yeah. That's what happens when you win championships. Everybody always talks about what it takes to be a champion, but continuity is the biggest thing, and Steve knows that better than it. Like, I'm giving you you could just carbon copy that answer and paste it and put it out there. It, to me, and I texted you this, like, it sounded to me like an NBA 2K My Player. Like, you have, like, the different type of emotive answer. Like, do you want to have a happy answer? Do you want to clap back? That was a clap back, like, AI-generated response. Y'all think I care about what people say about me? Puh. I could never care about what people say about me at a time. Like, nah.
And it's okay. It's okay. When when somebody comes in on the text line or on social media or on the chat or wherever, and they say something negative about me, I'm not going to lie and say that it just rolls. It rolls off my back, but I'm like, oh, okay, that was kind of harsh. But I'm just not going to. Clay, you don't gotta lie, Clay. No.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie. We're all humans. Because the problem with lying is that your actions are doing the opposite of what you're saying.
Yep.
You responding to Tim that way tells us you've been reading things and you've been seeing things. Because if you hadn't, you wouldn't have responded to Tim that way. Because the truth is, you have been struggling, right? Honey, do I look fat in this outfit or whatever? Are you just supposed to lie? You got to find a way around it. But Clay, do you think, my question would be, not that I would ask him this, but do you think you've been playing well?
Yeah.
Do you think you've been playing well?
Mm-hmm.
What would be Clay's answer?
He'd probably be honest and say no. Like, I mean,
what Tim asked?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that it's not, he feels like he wasn't being asked it directly and he didn't like how the question was phrased. But again, even then, it's, you're just being sensitive. It comes back to the Russell Westbrook thing, where it is just very clear that you're being sensitive about this.
Yeah.
Like, you're reading too much into it, or you clearly are more emotive than what you're trying to give off. But it's very clear that he does care what people say, and he's definitely listening to what people say.
And then he throws Wiggins into this.
For no reason.
He's talking to you, Clay. Yeah. He's like, bench me, bench Wiggins. Wiggins probably in the locker room like, what? Why are y'all bringing me? I'm over here just chilling. Why you got my name in your mouth, Clay? Ain't nobody talking about me. 916-339-1140. Before we get to a break, let's get to Mitch, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Mitch? You're on Sal's and Watkins.
Hey. Hey, guys. Chris.
What up, Mitch?
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Hey, what you got for us?
You know, we bench is deep. I'm not worried if Keegan can't play. And I think Mr. Green should have been 5 days. That's a cupcake. He got off easy. He should probably be on his best behavior. And then I'd get a little old, get a little long in the teeth. And I think we'll be able to lighten the beam thing and everything.
There you go. Ooh, great like call, it, Mitch. Yeah, I hope that the Kings like finally get their first beam against the Warriors for this season.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it'll be – I think – I don't want to put too much on it, but – it could really just propel really either team. That's what happens in these rivalry games.
Yep.
You can take the momentum and go one way, or you can take the bad juju and go another way. So hopefully it ends up that way for the Kings. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Chris Biederman joins us at the Candlestick Chronicles and the Sacramento Bee covering the Kings and the Niners. We will talk to him about his conversation with Malik Monk and the Niners-Eagles, who he has. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.